Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Professional boxing tops the September 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. And for more hard-hitting commentary, let's climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, before we look ahead to Saturday night, Wembley Stadium, Anthony Joshua versus Alexander Povetkin in a world heavyweight title fight, let's look back to the T-Mobile Arena last weekend. You were ringside for Canelo Triple G 2. Great fight. The scorecards were close. Let's take a look at those scorecards, Nnamdi. One judge had it 114-114 even, and the other two had it 115-113 in favor of Canelo. Did you like the decision?
Sonny, I like the decision, but what surprised me was that a lot of media journalists in the press row and fight gurus said Triple G won the fight. Even the ESPN boxing analyst Dan Rafael all gave it to Triple G. That is the shocking part about it, whereby all these boxing experts that predicted that Triple G will win and still believed after the fight that Triple G won the fight. I'm shocked.
Triple G did land more punches, Nnamdi, but were they effective punches?
They were not effective punches, but you see, you have to also understand in the first fight, Canelo did not press the fight. He did not attack. In the second fight, Canelo had offense from the beginning. Canelo pushed Triple G back. This was the first time ever we see Triple G going back. And if you look at it, some of the rounds are very close, really. I mean, you cannot quarrel with 114-114. 115-113 is close. I mean, I think a lot of people scored it the other way around.
Could it have been another draw between these two gladiators?
If it was a draw, I think a lot of people would have been very, very happy. The Canelo fans will not be happy. The Triple G fans will take it and move on. But for Triple G losing the title to Canelo, a lot of his fans believe he's been robbed twice, not just the first time. This is the second robbery for Triple G.
Will there be a Canelo Triple G 3?
Well, the fans demand it. But we as boxing fans have to really be careful. These guys are not machines, Sonny. 24 hard rounds with no knockdown. They need to go and rest. They cannot just come back and do it again. Personally, for me, I would like to see them do it September 2019. Not even May 2019, September. You cannot just put these guys through serious camp, struggle to make weight and all that. I mean, it just for Canelo, it's okay. But for Triple G, who is in 37 years old, the body cannot take it. So all these fans say, let's do it again. Let's do a rubber match. Come on. These are not machines. These are human beings. They need to take time out and come back with easy touch, easy fights in 2019. And then let's do it again fall 2019.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Nnamdi, you were ringside for Canelo Triple G 2. Some of your fight fans around you, LeBron James, Mark Wahlberg, the American movie star. What was the atmosphere like ringside?
T-Mobile Arena, 21,695 people, Sonny. And we were on our toes, Sonny. This was toe-to-toe, Mexican style, man. Tell me that's not fight of the year, Sonny. Show me another fight that will top this one. This is 12 rounds of action. They came to fight. Nobody walked out of that arena complaining of anybody holding or anybody backing up. It was, let's do it. Let's come forward. That's what boxing is all about. This takes me back to the 80s, the days of Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Thomas the Hitman, Sugar Ray Leonard. Those guys were really in action fight. We have not seen this kind of action fight in a long time. And to remind you, Sonny, this is the first time we see Triple G in a real fight.
Nnamdi Canelo's only loss to Floyd Mayweather. Still retired, but he drops a bombshell on the day of Canelo Triple G, saying he's going to fight Manny Pacquiao again. Do you think that fight will come off?
Sonny, I believe that fight will come up in December. I mean, these two guys, they met in Tokyo over the weekend and they broke bread, you know. Go back and look at the numbers for the first fight. The pay-per-view was 4.6 million pay-per-view buys. The live gate alone for Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Mayweather was $72 million, Sonny. The total haul from that first fight was 600 million plus, Sonny. The rematch, as much as we hate Floyd Mayweather, the rematch may even hit $1 billion. The fight belongs to Las Vegas, where the city will make lots of money. More than $80 million will come in for betting. Hotels will clean up on the table. Rooms will be sold. They're talking about December 1 or December 8. They're about to wrap it up, and hopefully soon there'll be a press conference. All these people that are making all this noise, saying, oh, it's a ripoff. These guys are past their prime. We don't want to see it. Wait for the press conference to start. Once they do all the big cities, you will jump out of your bed to buy the tickets. You want to see it because this is an unfinished business. Mind you, the first fight, Manny Pacquiao was hurt and he had to have surgery after the fight. So this time around, go back and look at what he did to Lucas Matisse in July. Floyd Mayweather may even be knocked out in a rematch.
Nnamdi, let's go to London. And Wembley Stadium will be the venue. Anthony Joshua will put three of his world heavyweight title belts on the line Saturday night against Alexander Povetkin. How's this one shaping up?
Sonny, they're looking at close to 90,000 people at Wembley Stadium. This will be his fourth outdoor fight. I'm talking about AJ. This is a very, very good fight. This is a fight where the fans will walk away smiling because this fight, we are guaranteeing you a knockout. Not just a knockout, an explosive knockout. Because in the fight game, we say styles make fight. Both guys have the style that will come and they'll stand and it'll be toe-to-toe and it'll be a blowout.
Earlier when we chatted, Nnamdi, you mentioned Povetkin having problems in sparring. Do you really think he can challenge AJ?
I don't think so, Sonny. If the people that your handlers, your manager and trainer can bring somebody in camp to beat you down, have you all busted up, you wonder what kind of people you have behind you. This is going to play a big role in the real fight because the reason of going to camp is to prepare for the fight. It's not for it to get beat up, you know. So when he steps into the ring Saturday night at Wembley Stadium, that would be in his mind, you know. And Anthony Joshua is a dangerous puncher. And if he's in the position to knock you out, he will take you out.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Nnamdi, let's stick with the big boys, the heavyweights. Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Where do we stand with that fight?
Remind you, they agreed to do this fight a month ago. And you wonder, what's taking them so long to announce a date and a venue? Well, we had a rumor that Tyson Fury was demanding to do another tune-up fight, one or two tune-up fights. But the kickoff of the press conference will be Monday in London, the UK. And then they will go to New York City. And after New York City, they'll come to my backyard, Los Angeles. The fight is on, and they're talking about doing it in Las Vegas in December. Sonny, come on now. You cannot go toe-to-toe with Floyd Mayweather against Manny Pacquiao with a heavyweight fight that people know what's going to happen when Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fight.
So you don't think there would be two big fights in December in Vegas?
No way, Sonny. The game cannot handle two pay-per-views. And moreover, believe the fight with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder will happen when the referee say in the middle of the ring, let's get it on, because Tyson Fury can back out of that fight any moment, you know. So don't count on Tyson Fury stepping in. Starting Monday, it's going to be a wild press conference, London, New York, LA, they'll all be happy. But Give us the date, give us the place. If you're telling us it's Las Vegas and Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao pops up in Manila next week, say we're going to Las Vegas, you better pack your bags and head back to London.
Nnamdi, a Nigerian heavyweight that you have high hopes for, Efe Ajagba. What's the latest with him?
Sonny, homeboy, his nickname is the one and only. That is his nickname. I love that. One and only Efe Ajagba, 6-0 with 5 big knockouts. Remember, this is the guy that scared the heavyweight out of the ring without even throwing a punch last time, Sonny. He's coming to Southern California in an arena called the Citizen Bank in Ontario, which is like an hour drive from Los Angeles. The big Fox Channel television. And now we're excited about getting close to him for the first time. Watch him do his thing. I guarantee you, Efe Ajagba, the one and only, will score another huge knockout, a monster knockout, come September 30, right here in Southern California, Sonny.
Nnamdi, I know Nigeria has produced some other big heavyweights over the years. Where do you rate Ajagba? Do you think he could be a heavyweight champion?
Who will forget Aiki Babuchi, Sonny? This was another monster heavyweight from Nigeria that got carried away, got caught into some nonsense here, and ended up in jail. Efe Ajagba is way above everybody. He's calm, he's cool, he's got his team behind him. He's got a good trainer, a good promoter, television. Efe Ajagba, remember also, Sonny Side of Sports Prospect of the Year. You good pick, Sonny. We expect big things for Efe Ajagba. We're looking at by summer of 2019, homeboy should be ready to strike and knock out a couple of pretenders and become a contender in the heavyweight division.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more verbal jabs from Nnamdi in the days to come, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. In African athletics, our big story this week was Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge smashing the world record in the marathon in Berlin, Germany. Kipchoge clocked 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds, and he led a Kenyan sweep of the top three places in successfully defending his Berlin title. Amos Kipruto was second in 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 23 seconds, and former world record holder Wilson Kipsang was third in 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 48 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Kipsang after the race. Here's Andy.
Wilson, you finished third in Berlin, and can you take stock and just see, I mean, we've spoken earlier about you saying you feel you still have fast marathons in you, 204, 205. How do you go about regrouping after, obviously, a big effort to prepare and come and run in what was such a fantastic race? How do you then recover from that?
I think for now, my main thing is I just go back and recover now. But I think this is impressive for me. Third place and running 2.6, it's a really good. Despite the fact that I really prepared for a world record, I think the body determines a lot. During the race day, you just wake up, you feel the body doesn't respond to a certain pace. So you just have to maintain and you give it all. So for me, I'm really happy to have really done this.
You said beforehand you were going to be going in the second group. I mean, it was pretty clear that Eliud Kipchoge was going to go out and try and do 61 dead for the halfway, and you were going for 61.30. That looked like going to plan, but then after a little while, is that when you said the body just wouldn't respond? You couldn't maintain that 61.30 target pace at halfway?
Yeah, I think from the start we were really on a schedule. But it reached a point whereby I saw if my body failed to respond on that fast pace. So I decided to slow a little bit. That could enable me to maintain that pace and even run faster from maybe from 30 kilometers and maintain to finish in a good time. Yeah.
you have broken the world record here in Berlin, and now Eliud Kipchoge has done that. And so, you know, you both know now what it's like to do it and be world record holders. Can you just put in perspective how you see Eliud's performance, his achievement here today?
I think today's performance for Eliud was really so fantastic, and it's really a great achievement, because to smash the world record by 1 minute around 18 seconds is really such incredible, because always guys brings down by maybe 20 seconds, 30 seconds or 40 seconds, but for him, I think he really prepared himself for so much, and he has been attempting so much, so close, going so close, and I think this was his day, and it will really give a very big challenge to at athletes, because to attempt that record and to bring it down to from 2:01:40 that nine is not easy. Yeah,
it certainly isn't. Well, well done, Wilson. You've done great things in Berlin. It's been Eliud's day today, but you still finish in a fine third place. Wilson Kipsang, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Kenyan athlete Wilson Kipsang, who finished third in the recent BMW Berlin Marathon in Germany. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, the second edition of the Laver Cup men's team tournament is getting ready to start here in the United States. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Laver Cup will be held in the U.S. city of Chicago, but with one notable absence. Argentine Juan Martín Del Potro has withdrawn from the tournament following his amazing run to the U.S. Open Finals, where he was crowned runner-up. Del Potro is no doubt disappointed to miss this year's Laver Cup. Last month, he expressed his excitement over his inclusion on Team World.
Well, of course, I watched it at home. I was cheering for Team World, for sure. But now I will have the chance to play and to enjoy a great week with these gentlemen, and I will try to win, for sure.
Del Potro has been replaced by American Francis Tiafoe, who is no stranger to the Laver Cup. He played for Team World in last year's inaugural event in Prague. Tiafoe says, quote, "Laver Cup was one of the highlights of 2017 for me. I had an awesome time, and I'm so excited to join the team again and represent Team World in Chicago." Team World captain and tennis legend John McEnroe has welcomed Tiafoe with open arms and said, quote, "Francis is a real X-factor player and loves the big occasion. He'll be right at home with a big and loud American crowd cheering him on." Team World lost to Team Europe last year, but McEnroe says this year the Chicago fans should give his team an advantage.
You know, I think it was one of the best and most exciting weeks that I've been around for many years, to be part of, you know, this, to see the players get behind it as much as they did, and the crowd was amazing. So we're hoping that now that we have the home court advantage, that in Chicago, which is a great sports town, that we can pull this out. So whether the players are excited, I'm excited. It was an awesome week, and we're looking forward to it being even better this year.
And on Team World, here is the lineup. Tiafoe will be joined by Kevin Anderson of South Africa, American John Isner, Diego Schwartzman of Argentina, American Jack Sock, and Australian Nick Kyrgios. Playing for Team Europe, Switzerland's Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic of Serbia, Germany's Alexander Zverev, Grigor Dimitrov of Bulgaria, David Goffin of Belgium, and Kyle Edmund of Great Britain. Team Europe will be captained by tennis great Bjorn Borg. The three-day tournament gets underway on Friday and ends Sunday. Still with tennis, let's go halfway around the world to the Pan-Pacific Open in Tokyo. On Wednesday, Japan's Naomi Osaka won her first match in front of a home crowd since claiming the U.S. Open title. Naomi is Japan's first Grand Slam singles champion, and she again displayed prowess on the tennis court, defeating Slovakia's Dominika Cibulková in straight sets to advance to the quarterfinals. Five-time Grand Slam champion Maria Sharapova ended her 2018 season early, withdrawing from the China Open in Beijing to take time to recover from a shoulder injury. And you might remember the bit of controversy at the U.S. Open tournament when Nick Kyrgios received what appeared to be a pep talk from chair umpire Mohamed Liani. Well, the ATP has suspended Liani for two tournaments, saying his actions were, quote, deemed to have compromised the impartiality that is required of an official. Liani will resume his chair umpiring duties at the Stockholm Open on October 15th. More news to come, so stay tuned. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In African men's basketball, the Italian coach of Ivory Coast, Paolo Pavia, says he's pleased with his team's performance at the recent FIBA World Cup qualifying tournament in Lagos, Nigeria. The Ivorian team posted wins over Mali and Rwanda and lost to host Nigeria. In an interview with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach Pavia reflected on the tournament and basketball in Ivory Coast.
I think it was a good tournament for us, and I'm satisfied, I'm happy, and we improve a lot, and I'm very yes, I hope to be part of a new cycle of a national team of Côte d'Ivoire and basketball in Côte d'Ivoire, and it's my dream, okay, and
are there efforts being made? Are there plans on ground to make basketball as popular as football in Côte d'Ivoire?
It's not easy. I think we have to start with kids, with children, and the most of part of this job is you know, communication, is to speak about basketball, to have maybe some example, like some players to use for this. I think it's not possible to reach the same popularity of football, but it can be the second sport of the country.
From what efforts you've made so far in bringing up players, what has been the response like? And I mean, are the young ones responding very positively to all the efforts you're making?
Yes, I can say yes. We can, every time we can do better. It's normal. For this time, I'm never really satisfied, but I think we can do better. But from the beginning to now, it's good.
That's Paolo Pavia, the head coach of the Ivory Coast men's basketball team, and he spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Basketball great Michael Jordan is donating $2 million to relief and recovery efforts in the wake of Hurricane Florence, which tore through his home state of North Carolina last week. Jordan is the owner of the Charlotte Hornets in the NBA. He's donating $1 million to the American Red Cross and also $1 million to the Foundation for the Carolinas Hurricane Florence Response Fund. Michael Jordan was born in New York City, but as a young boy, his family moved to Wilmington, North Carolina. Here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Michael Jordan for his $2 million donation. And that wraps up the September 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the African Capacity Building Foundation, the Africa Union's specialized agency for capacity development, has coordinated programs worth $700 million since 1991. The African Capacity Building Foundation on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
That AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Ooh.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.